else, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And we are now celebrating the birth of Jesus and enjoying the Christmas season. And yet, there are some 2 billion people in the world that will not be celebrating Christmas because they don't know who Jesus is. It's approximately 28% of the world's population. And they tell me that the world's population is arrived at the number of 7,100,000. 7.1 billion people. With 28% of them not able to celebrate Christmas because they do not know who Jesus is and never heard the Christmas story. And because of that, 62,000 people go out into eternity every day never having heard. 62,000 never having heard. Not even once. That's why we as a church pray. That's why we witness. That's why we invite folks to come and hear the Word of God. That's why we give to missions. We cannot win them all, but God help us, we can win one. We can share the gospel with some. Amen. And that's the reason today for the season. Then I want to share something with you. I do not know how long it's been. Some years ago, one service at night time, young man broke into an automobile on the parking lot and stole some stuff. And he was found out, and he was tried and convicted and went to prison. And I read a Christmas card that he sent to us Wednesday night. I read the card, part of it. I would like to read some excerpts from the letter that he wrote. His name is Michael Young. He's no longer in the penitentiary. He is in a facility in Chesapeake now, but he's still incarcerated. He wrote, "Although it's been a while since we've spoken, I really get to know I am doing wonderful. The Lord has really been blessing me, teaching me, and using me. But most of all, He's been training me for His service. I pray all is going well for you and all my brothers and sisters in Christ at Abundant Life. You and the Abundant Life Church and the White family." It was the White family's vehicle that was broken into. "Had been a blessing. And all have played an instrumental role in my being shaped by Christ. I will always have a place in my heart, in my thoughts, and in my prayers for you all. Keep up the good work. Keep up God's work. In Christ's love, Michael Young." He was a sinner when he broke into that vehicle. He was sentenced to prison. He got saved. And his life has been changed. And ever since, now for months and months and months, he's been in contact. He's been repaying what he owed. A little bit every month. And he's nearing the finish line. With him being in Chesapeake, seems as if he might be nearing the finish line with his term of incarceration. And I wanted to read the excerpts from that letter because you never know. When he broke in and we found out about it, did you know what the people did? We prayed for him. And we're serving a good God. And this young man feels as if even now in the prison, that God is not only blessing him, but training him for service for the time that he has left. And when he gets out, should the Lord tell him, pray for him. His name is Michael Young. Then turn with me in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter number 2. While you're turning, we have had 4 Sunday school lessons on the birth of Christ from these first chapters of Matthew and Luke. And somebody might say, well, everything's been said. And then I was sitting beside Sharon in the Sunday school class, and she had a notation in her Bible that a certain sermon was preached in the year 2010, and it was in fall of such and such, and had my name by it. I will not be preaching a re-warm sermon. I have never preached this, and I have never heard it preached, what I'm going to preach today. God gave me a thought last Tuesday night. Things began to go over in my mind, lying in the bed. I didn't know which way I was going to go. In fact, when it's all said and done, I've got enough for another sermon. Maybe a follow-up. I haven't written down the notes for that, but I'm going to just hold there. Hold the second chapter of Matthew. We're not going to read there yet a while. But last Sunday, I read from the first 12 verses of this chapter, having to do with the wise men seeing that supernatural star in the eastern sky, and they made their way to Jerusalem to where the child was, and when they arrived, they worshipped him, and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The sermon thought last Sunday was from that 12th verse, how that the wise men, being warned of God in a dream, he told them that they should not return to heaven, but they departed into their own country another way, and so that's what I preached about. Now, I thought before I come to the sermon proper today, it's amazing the simplicity of how God speaks to us. Sometimes we try to make God's Word say something that it doesn't say, because it doesn't agree with our philosophy. I want to be plain spoken this Sunday morning. I want to believe God's Word just like it is. Amen. I had a man, a newsman, make a statement this week that he said, "You can't believe all the Bible." I asked the question, "What part is it that you can't believe? You can't take it literal. You need to take it literally everywhere it is literal for us. Amen. If it's going to be symbolic, it'll tell you symbolic." Amen. He made the statement that how that Christmas is, and he was not a non-believer, I don't suppose, but how that this is really something just for in our imagination. I want everyone to know today that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of the living God. Yes. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was born of a virgin, and the wise men came to see him, and when they did, and Herod wanted them to come back to tell him about where they were so that he could do what he's going to do, as the Lord led him to know that the wise men would go a different way home. When I thought about the simplicity of how God speaks, I'm going to give some illustrations. Here, the wise men were warned by a dream. In Luke chapter 1, and we're not going to turn there to read, but at a time when Zacharias, the priest that ministered in the temple, while he was there one day doing his duties, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." There's no need to fear, Zacharias. You've ever prayed for a son. You haven't been able to have a child. Your wife is getting up in age, and it looks as if you're not going to have a child. But I want you to know that God's heard your prayer. Amen. Let me say this today. He hears us when we pray. Again, in Luke chapter 1, an angel appeared to Mary, saying, "Hail thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." What an announcement. What an announcement, an angel. Luke chapter 2. They were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I say, amen. The good news is that Christ that was to bring good peace and good news and good tidings and peace and the rest, he's still alive. And he's still blessing men and women. Thank God. Thank God. Bringing great joy. Second chapter of Matthew. After the wise men were warned of God in a dream, they leave Bethlehem and go a different direction. God reveals in Israel in so many ways. Let me leave this and then I'll come to the sermon. When God reveals His will in the Word, take it down, it's gospel. What Bible says, how we to live, follow that. Not the theories of men, not my theory, your theory, anyone else's. Follow the Word. You can never go wrong. Never go wrong, anywhere, anytime, by following the Scriptures. There are two thoughts. I'm going to read some scripture from that second chapter. I'm going to follow up where I left off last Sunday. I finished in the 12th verse. I'm going to read from the 13th verse today. Matthew chapter 2. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a boy heard lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. I have two thoughts. When God spoke through an angel to Joseph, he said, take the young child and flee. And the other thought is, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. And keep your Bibles open. Genesis chapter 3. I don't know how long I'll preach this morning, because there's a lot here. I want to encourage you. I've often said it, and I'm going to say it again this morning as we're nearing the end of this year, and if the Lord tells, we're going to begin a new year just a week and a half from now. Stay in the Word. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. If you're not familiar with the Bible, you might not be familiar with what I'm going to preach. I'm going to go to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. The Bible tells me that Adam and Eve have disobeyed God. They have sinned, and God comes on the scene in the third chapter, and he's speaking. Now, he's already talked to Adam and Eve. He's speaking now to Satan. 15th verse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let me say that again. I'm not going to read it again, but let me say it again. God said there's going to be a warfare between the powers of the enemy and the powers of God. There's going to be a struggle between the seed of Satan and the seed of a woman. And he says this in that last part of the 15th verse, how that your seed will bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman will bruise your head. I like to change the word there just for my own benefit, shall crush your head. The seed of the woman is going to be victorious. And according to the 4th chapter of the book of Genesis, in the 4th verse, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. I want to stop right there. I want you to understand what I'm trying to get at today. The Bible lets me to know that the word seed, in the verse that I read in the 15th verse of the 3rd chapter, is speaking of the promised seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this. I want us to follow the seed all the way through the Old Testament until it has come into being in the New Testament. And now the Bible says that Abel offers a righteous sacrifice. He's obedient to God. He offers a blood sacrifice because God has let him and his dad and his brother know that that's God's will. Let me stop right there. God has let Adam and his sons know that only sacrifice I'm going to receive is a blood sacrifice. Some people might say, well, Brother Jones, Cain gave the best he had. The best you have is not good enough. This is not what God ordered. That's important. Abel gave the blood sacrifice and it was accepted by God. And I've read the Bible for you. I came to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I found because of the testimony of Abel and because of his righteous living and because he offered a blood sacrifice, the Bible said, and he yet speaketh. What does it mean? After 6,000 years from Abel to the day, means that Abel obeyed God, and because of his testimony, we're still talking about it. If you serve God, brother, it'll be forever. Your testimony. Thank God, thank God. Listen to this. Abel was the first of the seed of the woman. God said, I'm going to put him in between you, Satan, and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And now this is the first one of the Bible for the seed of a woman. And the Bible tells me that there came a time when Cain rose up against his brother Abel. I'll tell you who put it in his heart. The devil. Some people say the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make Cain do it. He just suggested it and Cain followed up. If you sin, the devil didn't make you sin. He just suggested it and you did it. You say amen. It's true. The Bible says that Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. I believe the devil's behind it to try to get rid of the seed. But I read the 4th chapter. I read another verse. Turn with me to the 25th verse of the 4th chapter. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me, what? Another seed, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. God, they had another child, another son, they named him Seth. And the Bible said that Eve said, God has given me another seed to take place of Abel. I want you to understand today, when God said the seed of a woman is going to crush the head of Satan and the seed of a woman is going to be victorious forever and forever, the devil can do all he wants to do, but he cannot defeat him. And so God gave another seed in Seth. I went to the 6th chapter. I found that a man was wicked. Evil was in the hearts and lives of the people, and God said something like this, and I'm not quote at all, but here the Bible says that God was grieved in his heart that he had made man. Man had let him down. Man had failed him, and he said, I will destroy man that I have made. I will destroy him. But there's another verse that says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know why? He's righteous. God has him to build an ark for the saving of his household and all that will come in. I want you to stay with me right now. God was ready to destroy mankind, but he's going to preserve the seed. Amen. And he found the righteous man.
Hallelujah.
And the seed of the woman was to be righteous. And so Noah is spared. The seed continues. I came to a time when the flood was horrible and there's an event that takes place between the sons of Noah. And the Bible says, let me find the scripture. I, I'll stay close to my notes. I can't, don't remember. In the 6th chapter, turn there. The 7th verse. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them, and then, but no apparent grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then you go on, and you find in verse number 8, I've read that, find in verse number, in chapter number 9, verse number 26, how that this time had come to pass with the sons of Noah. In chapter 9, verse 26, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. I want you to see the picture. I'm trying to hurry along. The three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they've come to a certain time, and because of the evil that took place in that time, the Bible says that Ham was cursed. Are you still with me? Ham was cursed, but now the Bible says about Shem, how did I just read it from that verse? Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. And when you read the genealogies of the Almighty God, of the Lord Jesus in the 3rd chapter of Luke, you'll find that Shem was the seed that carried the woman's seed forth. Do you understand? If the human race was cut off, the seed would not continue. But God started the seed with Abel. Goes on to Seth. Goes on to Noah, going on now to Shem, the seed of the woman. Then you come to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. 12th chapter. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him, and I say, amen. Listen to what I say right now. God is saying to Abraham, I brought you over the seed, through the seed of Abel, through the seed of Seth, and through the seed of Shem, and now I've come to this place in the history of mankind. I brought you here, Abraham. I want you to obey me, because through your seed, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless the people of the world. Listen closely. Abraham was continuing the seed from Abel to Abraham, 1900 years, and the seed is still strong. Some things we take for granted. But the Bible is a tremendous book. And I find that here in Abraham, the seed. I'm going to read one other scripture along these lines. I'm going to read from the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. And the 19th verse. 17th chapter and the 19th verse. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. Indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. Look at the last line. And with his seed after him. Amen. The seed from Abel to Abraham. Now it's passed on to Isaac. And there are scriptures that show you in the scripture in the Bible how the seed passed on to Jacob, how the seed was passed on to Judah, how the seed was passed on to David. And finally, when you come 700 years before Christ was born, in the book of Isaiah, he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to make something clear today. This is a miracle of miracles that has never been repeated. Amen. The Immaculate Conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Bible says in Isaiah, for a virgin shall conceive. I want everyone to understand, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, and in the Greek, in the New Testament, it does not say a virgin shall conceive. It does not say a maiden shall conceive. Nor a young maiden. It says the virgin. The one and only, there's never been another to conceive. In the Hebrew and in the Greek. Oh, the virgin, the one that God picked out. Amen. That God chose. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I see how the seed is passed from Abraham to Isaac, to Jacob, on to Judah, and to David, and now all the way to Isaiah, is telling us about the virgin that is conceived. And you come to Luke chapter 2, says, and there she brought forth a firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The seed of the woman that God promised to Adam and to Eve, all the way back in the third chapter of Genesis, all the centuries earlier, the one who would come to seek and to save the lost, the one who would ultimately crush the head of Satan, had arrived. Hallelujah. This is Christmas season. We ought to rejoice and be glad. He's alive. He's alive. He's here today, man. He's come on the scene. The seed of the woman. Now the angel tells Joseph to take the young child and flee. And this has been disturbing for a lot of people. God has all power. Why had Joseph take the baby and flee? Well, he's the Son of God. He's God with us. And the Almighty, the Father, has all power. Why take the child and flee? And then next part, this is the reason. And I want to leave this with you today. God has a plan.
Amen.
And sometimes we get all out of kilter because the plan doesn't fit our plan. Do you understand where I'm coming from? God has a plan. And I don't understand the ways of God. His ways are much higher than ours. Some things that I don't understand, but one thing I do know, I know the Bible's true. And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I believe that. I believe the steps of a righteous man are directed by the Lord. And the Lord directs them through the fire, then so be it. If the steps of the righteous are directed to the flood, so be it. Because He's God.
Yes.
And He's going to bring us out on the other side of victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know why God did what He did. I don't know why He said, take the young child and his mom and flee. God could have zapped heaven.
Oh, yeah.
In a split second of time.
Mm-hmm.
We might ask the question, why? Why? Why we? But in the natural, I see the answer, because Herod is out to destroy him. And it was not yet God's time for Jesus to die. And so I leave this with you as well. And I look at Ken, at Tommy and Billy and my wife, all the way down that side, and for Carl and Joyce down this side. God's got a purpose for your life. And I believe you are immortal until God's finished with you. And whatever you're going through, and some of you are going through a difficult time, and have been through a difficult time, this year, I want you to know God's still watching over you. He's still God. He's still in control. He still loves you. He's going to bring us to the victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Take the young child. Take the seed of a woman. And flee. Because Herod is out to destroy him. And I am going to show you some things, some scriptures, and there's so much, and this is the other part of the sermon that I won't be able to preach that the more I thought about it, all the way through the Old Testament. The devil tried his best to get rid of the seed. From Abel to Malachi. The devil tried time and time and time again to get rid of the seed. But the devil couldn't, because we're serving a great big God. Hallelujah. Yes, and I've mentioned this in Bible study back in what you just said. The devil can only go so far, and this is how far he can go. He can only go so far as the Lord allows.
Amen.
And if the Lord allows him to go any further, it's for our good and the glory of God.
That's right.
Say, Brother Jones, I wish you wouldn't allow so much in my face.
Amen.
He can depend on you, or he wouldn't allow it.
That's right.
Doesn't mean that you're going to pass the test, but you can pass the test.
Amen.
Because his grace is sufficient. So I thought of the scripture, and I'm not going to go to the Old Testament now to try to show, but the devil has tried to destroy the seed of the woman ever since Abel was born, right on now until Jesus is born. The seed of the woman has come into existence. The man-child, the Christ of glory, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, has arrived on the scene. The seed is here. And now, Herod is designed to destroy the seed. And it's that way throughout the Old Testament and now in the New Testament. I'm not going to have you to turn, but I'm going to share some scriptures. In the 5th chapter of John, the 16th verse, Jesus healed a man at the pool of Bethesda, and because of that, the people sought to kill him. This is a part. I did not mention this, but I'm coming back to it. Jesus healed a man, a lame man, at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day. And because he healed on the Sabbath day, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, decided Jesus needs to be killed. And there are still people today that are so caught up with the letter. Jesus himself, the Lord God, the Bible says that God, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. That Sabbath wasn't made for man. Man wasn't made for Sabbath, Sabbath for man. It's time for the rest and worship God. I hope you understand where I'm coming from now. Because Jesus did not fit their plan. Because he healed someone on a day that they thought he should not heal. They were going to kill him. He's the seed of the woman. And the devil put it in their hearts and their minds to kill him. Because he's broken the Sabbath day in their minds and their thinking. I went on to the 19th chapter of Luke. The Bible says, and Jesus taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people saw this for the greatest teacher that has ever lived. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Read the discourse in the 10th chapter about the Good Shepherd. Read what Jesus had to say. No greater teacher in all the world. And they decided to kill him.
Yes.
To get rid of the seed of a woman. 26th chapter of Matthew, the leaders had a meeting with Caiaphas, the high priest, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders, the religious leaders. Let me just pause here for a moment and I heard wrong. I heard some news. And you might be familiar, but I am not. This gentleman that's a part of the Duck Dynasty. I don't know the Duck Dynasty. I've never seen it. But he has a long beard and what have you. And I'm not here to elevate him or put them down. But because, as far as I can understand, because he might have said some things very close, but because he believes what the Bible says, and speaks it openly. They wanted, and they did. They put him off the edge of whatever they did, but there's been an uproar. But let me just share this with you. I believe that's only the devil just getting his foot in the door.
Amen.
Get in God we trust of the coin.
Uh-huh.
Get pledge allegiance. Get God out of the pledge allegiance.
Amen.
Get Bible reading out of school. Trying to get prayer out of the Congress. They have a chaplain that comes every morning before they open the houses and prays. Get rid of all of that. And if we had another Twin Towers event, one of the first things people want to do, pray.
Yeah.
Let's pray.
Let's
listen close to the Bible. Let's listen early. If we can't pray and worship Him, there'll come a time when we'll call on Him. And the Bible says He will laugh at our calamities. God will laugh at our calamities.
Right.
What are you saying, preacher? They didn't like what he was teaching. And rather than lining up, they said, kill him.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this all of my ministry.
Amen.
And I've seen it in the ministries of others. Get upset with the preacher if he preaches the truth. If somebody shows me some truth that I'm not living, I want to change my life.
Amen.
I'm not going to ask God to change the scriptures. I'm going to ask God to change me.
Yes. Yes,
and that's the answer for all of us.
Amen.
And they were angry. And they were ready to kill him. The leaders, the religious leaders, were ready to put him to death. And then in the 7th chapter of John, on another occasion, there was division between the people as to whether or not Jesus was really the Son of God. And the Bible says these words, that after these things walked Jesus in Galilee. For he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. From that time on, his ministry was directed in the Galilee area in the north, rather than in Jerusalem. Because in Jerusalem, the hierarchy of the Jewish religion would have to kill him. His ministry was limited.
Amen.
That was only in this area. And then one time when he was ready to go back to Jerusalem, they said, please don't go, they have to kill you, they have to kill you. But he was ready then to die. I hope everyone understands. The seed of the woman, beginning with Abel, all the way through the Old Testament, we've studied the last four Sundays, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And now Herod and Satan is out to destroy he who is the seed of the woman, the Christ child. And they're ready to put Jesus to death, and I'm going to wind it all up. And there came a time when Satan put it into the heart and the mind of men. Put it in Judas's mind, betray him. And he did, for 30 pieces of silver. Put it in the hearts of the mob to arrest him. And they did. They led him away to Caiaphas and to Annas and to the court. And they put it in the heart of the religious leaders of the day to claim him to be a blasphemer. Tell the people that he's a blasphemer. And blasphemers worthy of death. Have the soldiers to beat him. And then they led him outside the city and they crucified him. The seed of the woman. Hanging on the cross. And there are different ideas, and so I hope you'll just take this in mind for right now. I believe while Jesus is hanging on the cross, breathing his last breath, then he cried out, it's finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I imagine the devil is over there watching every minute. And when Jesus' head dropped over on his chest and he breathed his last breath, I imagine the devil thought, I have won the day. I have destroyed the seed of the woman. God said in the 3rd chapter of Genesis, all those years ago, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Your seed will bruise his heel, but her seed will crush your head. But now the devil feels like I've got it turned around. He's bruised my heel, but I'm crushing his head. I've got him on the cross. He's dead. He's finished with. He's over. But listen closely, and I'm going to close. There's not a grave in Jerusalem or anywhere else that can hold him. There's not a tomb anywhere in the world that can contain him.
Hallelujah.
On the 3rd day, hallelujah, he came forth.
Yes.
Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Victory, victory, victory. Why am I saying this? The seed is alive. The seed of the woman lives on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Alive forevermore.
Precious Lord, precious Jesus.
Now just share this with you today.
Thank you, God.
I don't believe I've ever preached such a thing, but I'm preaching a sermon on the birth of Jesus and the death of Jesus, the same sermon.
Amen.
Christmas and Easter.
Yes. Praise
the Lord. Double barrel. If I never get to preach another sermon, I hope you understand when God said the seed of a woman is going to crush Satan. I've read the rest of the book. My wife is from the piano. I found that Satan is still out there destroying all that he can. I read the 10th chapter of John, the 10th verse. The thief cometh not before to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. I've read the book. I know we're facing something in the future. Maybe the Lord might come today, but the world is facing the future. There's going to be a tribulation period. There's going to be an Antichrist. There's going to be a mark of the beast. There's going to be the battle of Armageddon. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth again in the 19th chapter of Revelation. And the Bible says he's going to take the Antichrist and cast him alive into the eternal lake of fire. He's going to take the false prophet and cast him into the eternal lake of fire. And he's going to take Satan and put him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. But after 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed out of the pit. He's going to be cast into the everlasting fire, the hell fire forever and forever and forever. The seed of the woman is going to win.
Yes.
Hallelujah! 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 The seed of a woman is Jesus. We ought to just stand today and give Him praise in the house of God. Stand with me if you will. Hallelujah. Play something softly, honey. While we